ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 106 to 110 of Surah Ali Imran today. We'll start with the word meanings, inshallah, starting with ayat 106. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم day تبيض will become white. This comes from the word أبيض, which means white. So tabayyadu, it will become white or will be brightened. Wujuhun, faces. Wa, and taswaddu, will become black or darkened. And this comes from the word aswad. Aswad means black. Okay, so wa taswaddu, and will become blackened or darkened. Wujuhun, faces. Fa is a prefix and it means so. Amma, as for. Alladhina, those who. Iswaddat, became black. Same word again. Aswad. And iswaddat means became black. Wujuhuhum, wujuh, faces. Hum, theirs. Akafartum. A in the beginning means did. It's used to ask a question. Kafar means disbelief. Okay, so kafar, disbelieved, them, all of you. So akafartum means did you all disbelieve or did you all hide the truth? Bada, after. Imanikum. Iman means belief or faith. Kum, yours. Fazuku, fa, so. Zuku, you all taste. And we know this is plural because it ends in waw followed by the alif in the end. Al-azab, the punishment. Bima, be, because of. Ma, what. Kuntum, kun, were. Dum, all of you. Takfurun, you all disbelieve. Kufr is the root word and that means disbelief. And ta in the beginning means you. And una ending just makes this word plural. So takfurun, you all disbelieve. Wa, and amma, as for. Alladhina, those who. Ibyaddat, became white. Wujuhuhum, wujuh, faces. Hum, theirs. Fa fi, fa, so. Fi, in. Rahmati, mercy. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hum, they, fi, ha, fi, in, ha, it, khalidun, will abide forever. Una ending makes this word plural, and khalid means one who abides forever. So khalidun, ones who abide forever or dwell eternally. Tilka, that, or those, ayatu, are verses, or ayat. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, natluha. This comes from the word tilawa, da, lam, waw, and that means recitation. Nun in the beginning means we. So natlu, we recite, ha, it, or them, and that can refer to the ayat. Alayka, alay, upon, ka, you, be, with, al-haqq, the truth. Wa, and ma, not Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuridu, he intends, zulman, any injustice. Lil alameen, li means for, al means the, and alameen means worlds or universes. Wa, and lillahi, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the word lillah comes before what is being described ahead, it means that only, it makes the word mean only for Allah or Allah alone. Okay? So walillahi, so for and for Allah alone or only for Allah, ma, whatever, fi in as-samawati. This is plural for the word sama'i. So as-samawati means the skies or the heavens. Wa and ma, whatever, fi in al-ard, the earth. Wa and ila, to Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turja'u, will be returned. Ra, jim, ayn is the root word, and that means to return, raja'a. So turja'u, will be returned. This is passive. Al-umur, the matters. This is plural for the word amr, which means a matter. So umur, matters. Kuntum, kun, are, or were. Tum, all of you. Khayra, best. Ummatin, people, or group, or a community. Ukhrijat, was brought forth, or taken out. Kharaja is the root word, and that means to take out. So ukhrijat, was taken out. This is passive. Linnasi, li, for, al, the, nasi, mankind, ta'muruna, excuse me, amr is the root word here, and that means command or order. Ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So ta'muruna, you all order or enjoin, bi, with, al, the, ma'ruf, recognized right. Something that everybody knows is right is ma'ruf. Okay. So ta'muruna, you all enjoin, bil ma'ruf, with the recognized right. Wa and tanhona, you forbid. Naha is the root word here, nunha, and that means to say no to something. Okay, to forbid. Ta in the beginning means you, and ona ending makes this word plural. So then hona, you forbid, an, from, al munkar, the recognized wrong. This word comes from nun kafra, and that means something we reject, okay? Something that we just don't approve of. So munkar is something that is disapproved, something that is known to be wrong. So al-munkar, the recognized wrong. Wa and tu'minuna, you all believe. This comes from the word iman, which means belief. Tu in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So tu'minuna, you all believe, be in Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and law, if amana, believed, ahlu, people, al-kitabi, of the book, lakana, la, the short la, lam with a fatha, means definitely, or surely, kana, it would have been, khayran, best, lahum, la, for, hum, them, minhum, min, from, hum, them, al-mu'minun, those who believe. This comes from the word iman, which means belief, and mu'min is somebody who believes. And una ending just makes this word plural. So al-mu'minun, those who believe. Wa and aktharuhum, akthar means most, hum, of them. Al-fasiqun, those who disobey or cross all limits. This comes from the word fisk, fasin kaf, and that means disobedience. Al in the beginning means the, and ina ending makes una ending makes this word plural. Fasik means somebody who is disobedient, somebody who crosses all limits. Okay, so al fasikun, those who disobey or those who sin or cross all limits. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we're going to start with the tafsir of these ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yawma tabayyadu wujuhun. on the day when some faces will be brightened. This applies to the people we learned about in Ayah 104. Because we learned that those who invite to righteousness, they enjoin good and forbid evil. And they hold fast to the rope of Allah and want the Ummah to be united. Their faces will be bright on the Day of Judgment. وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ And other faces will be darkened with gloom due to all the evil things they did. Like dividing up the Ummah into sects. They didn't focus on enjoining good and forbidding evil. They let go of the rope of Allah, which we learned means the Quran. And they stopped inviting people to righteousness. Their faces will be dark on that day. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ Then as for those whose faces will be dark due to their sins, it will be said to them, أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ Did you adopt the way of disbelief after embracing the true faith? People do that in one of the three ways we're going to go over. Okay? So what this means when we say that adopting the way of disbelief after embracing the true faith or the true religion, it means the first meaning of it is if someone leaves Islam after accepting it, okay, which is understood. And secondly, people who divide the Ummah into sects and they spread hatred among the Ummah. They cause divisions. Thirdly, it's the disbelievers, okay, because they basically disbelieve after being believers. Because everyone is born Muslim. The disbelievers become kafirs afterwards. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that every child is born into the true faith. But after that, their families make them Jewish or Christian. So they were Muslim before. And we also know that we have all taken the Ahde Alest with Allah before coming to this world, right? When we promised that we would only worship Him, that He is our Lord, when we were just souls. So they turn to disbelief after the Ahd of only believing in Allah, after taking that Ahd, that covenant. So the punishment is the same for people who belong to any of these three categories, okay, whether they leave Islam after accepting it, or it's people who divide the Ummah, the Muslim Ummah, into groups and spread hatred among them, or thirdly, the disbelievers, okay, the punishment for them all will be the same. فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ So taste the punishment for having adopted the way of disbelief. About people's faces being dark on the Day of Judgment due to their sins, it's because the nur, or the light of their iman, will leave their faces. That's why they'll be dark. And that darkness will be like the darkness of the night. It will be so dark that it will spread all around. This is how their faces will be on the Day of Judgment, like that type of darkness that spreads all around. And that's going to happen when we will all see our result. And all this will happen even before people are made to enter Jannah or Jahannam. They will stay in that miserable condition even before that's decided for them. In fact, they'll know about their end even at the time of their death, which is going to be way before. So when the evil people die, Malakul Maut, the angel of death, comes and sits by that person. And he says, evil soul, head towards the wrath of your Lord, towards his disapproval. And people are terrified when they hear that, because they know what's going to happen next. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بِيَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And as for the bright-faced ones, they will be in Allah's mercy and abide therein forever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of them. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. So the faces of the good doers will be bright because they did the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to do. So they will be in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So faces that day will be according to people's good or bad deeds, according to their actions here. So either bright or gloomy. And the angel of death comes to people at the time of death, prepared with his whole team of angels. For the good people, they bring a shroud of Jannah and heavenly perfumes that the person smells. And Malakul Maut, the angel of death, says to that person, O pure soul, head towards the maghfirah and approval of your Lord. And sometimes people who are around the dying person who is righteous notice that that person is smiling at the time of their death because of the good news they receive from the angels. And on the Day of Judgment, everyone's faces will clearly either be bright or dark and gloomy, according to what they did here in life. Tilka ayatullahi natluha alayka bilhaqwa. These are the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We recite them to you in truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the ayat that are read to him are the truth. There is nothing false about these ayat, and they are not a joke. Everything recited to him was 100% true. وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends no injustice to the worlds. He does not punish people for no reason. People actually do things that bring about the punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told everyone all these things ahead of time, including the Jews and the Christians. So they have all been warned. Therefore, on the Day of Judgment, they can't say that they didn't know about it, because they did know, they have been warned. They will know that they deserve whatever happens because they were warned ahead of time. And this goes for the Muslims too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us everything ahead of time here in the Quran. So on the Day of Judgment, we cannot complain that we're not being treated fairly. Nobody can present that excuse on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not intend any injustice. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. All that is in the heavens and in the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. So why would he be unfair to anyone? Is there a need for him to be unfair? He has all the power. Unlike people who don't have power, so they try to snatch things from others because they can't control certain things. He owns everything in the heavens and the earth. There's no need for him to do anything unjustly. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. And all matters return to Allah for decision. Everything we do is being sent ahead. And anything you do to carry on this mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be saved for you with Allah. Even if you don't live in Muslim countries, we have to practice Islam ourselves at least, and in our homes. Even if you try to implement these ayat of the Quran within your family, That is what you have control over. So that's enough, because that's all you will be held accountable for. Not other people who you had no control over, because we can't force others. But we can't present excuses in the hereafter and say that we couldn't do anything at all. We have to do whatever we are capable of doing, even if it's very little. Kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the best nation. We love hearing this, right? We love reading ayat like this, that we have been chosen as the best ummah. This has been declared in this ayah, that the Muslim ummah is the best ummah. An ummah is a group that shares the same beliefs, the same goals and purpose. It doesn't matter where the people of that ummah live and what languages they speak. Okay? So nowadays, Muslims have divided themselves up according to nationalities. But we have to remember that we all belong to the same ummah. And that is the most important thing. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Muslim ummah that they are the best ummah. So why are they the best? What is so special about them? First of all, it's because the Quran has declared that the Muslims are the best ummah. And the Quran is the word of Allah. So it's not like we're just making it up. We're just claiming to be the best ummah or on our own. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about how he was blessed in ways that nobody before him had been. He had the highest rank. And one of the ways he was blessed above others was that his ummah was made to be the best ummah of all. And that is according to a Musnad Ahmad narration. Another thing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about his ummah. Out of my ummah, 70,000 people will go to Jannah without reckoning on the Day of Judgment. Their faces will be bright like the full moon. I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase that number, and he replied, there will be 70,000 more with each of them. So that's 70,000 more people for each of those 70,000 people who will go to Jannah without reckoning. And that is a lot. Subhanallah. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those. Ameen. Another hadith tells us, the people of Jannah will have 120 saf. Okay, so, or rows. There will be 120 rows of the people of Jannah, out of which 80 rows will be of my ummah. Subhanallah. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will make up a quarter of the people of Jannah. So the Sahaba said, Allahu Akbar. Then he said, rather, you will make up one third of the people of Jannah. The Sahaba said, Allahu Akbar again. Then he told them, you will actually make up half of the people of Jannah. And the Sahaba again said, Allahu Akbar, when they heard this. Next, he told them, you will make up two-thirds of the people of Jannah, which means that the majority of people who enter Jannah will be from his ummah. Subhanallah. Another Muslim and Bukhari hadith tells us that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we came to this world last, and we will be the first to enter Jannah. No ummah will be able to enter paradise before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us, paradise is prohibited on all the prophets until I enter it. Likewise, it is prohibited for all the previous nations or ummahs until my ummah enters it first. Subhanallah. That's how supreme this ummah is. But did we do anything to be chosen for this honor? People like us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose us to be of this ummah. We didn't do anything to deserve that honor. So we should be really grateful to Him. And it's due to our connection with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah chose this ummah to be the best. Not because of anything we did. Allahu Akbar. Now that we have covered some of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this ummah to be the best ummah out of all, we have to learn about the great responsibility that comes with being the khayra ummatin, or the best ummah. We can't just take that title and be proud of it without doing what is required of us. So Allah says that you are the best ummah, ukhrijat linnas, which has been raised for mankind. To do what? What were we raised for mankind to do? Ta'muruna bil ma'roof. You enjoin good, so you have been sent for the guidance of mankind. Wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. And you forbid evil. Wa tu'minuna billah. And you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not enough to be born into Muslim families and have Muslim names. We have to have the kind of iman that is required, the kind we should have. This probably makes you wonder why iman, or belief in Allah, is mentioned as the last thing on the list, when we would expect it to be the first, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Right? That you have to forbid evil. First he, first he says, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You enjoin good. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And then you forbid evil. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And you believe in Allah. So why is belief in Allah the last thing on the list? It's because the other two things that are mentioned, enjoining good and forbidding evil, can only be beneficial if someone has iman. Okay? So those two things are actually a part of iman. They're actually a part of belief anyway. And our iman is not complete without those two things, if we don't do those two things. Because of ordering what is recognized as the right way and telling people to stay away from the recognized wrong way, Muslims are the best ummah out of all for those two reasons. Otherwise, there have been many others who claim to be believers too. But doing these two things, enjoining good and forbidding evil. We have to remember this. Very important. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. We have to do these things. Okay? Because those two things is what gives you the higher ranks than the other ummahs. Doing those two things gives you the higher ranks. Umar radiallahu anhu said at Hajj, whoever fulfills these requirements is from the khayra ummatin, meaning the best ummah. But anyone who does not fulfill that responsibility has nothing to do with the khayra ummatin. Isn't that scary for people like us? Because we're not really doing much, right? Do we really enjoin good and forbid evil? So that means that only people who enjoin good and forbid evil and believe in Allah are from the khayra ummatin. They belong to that khayra ummatin. And anyone who doesn't do that work is not a part of the best ummah. Because these conditions mentioned by Allah need to be fulfilled to be included in the best ummah. Nobody can assume that they belong to the best ummah if they're not doing the three things Allah instructed them to do. Of course, we all claim to believe in Allah. But what about the other two things? Enjoin good and forbid evil. So therefore, it's very important to do these things. There's no need to ask if we have to do these things or not, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so clear that you are the best Ummah only because you do these things. So if we want to be included in the best Ummah, we have to work and do what's required of us. Now let's try to understand what it means to do those two things, to enjoin good and forbid evil, because only then can we try to do these things. When it comes to the first thing, ta'muruna bil ma'ruf, amr is the root word in ta'muruna, and that means to command, to enjoin goodness, right? So there are stages of amr. Amr means to order, to advise, to encourage, to command, to do good. And the way you do it all depends on who you are dealing with and how much authority you have. For example, you can't say the same things to your kids and your friends when it comes to enjoining good. You have to do it in different ways according to their age and the relationship you have with them. And the way you deal with any other Muslim, like somebody from the masjid, can't be the same as a close friend. And you can't deal with non-Muslims the same way you deal with Muslims from your community. So there are different forms of amr, okay, depending on who you are speaking to. When telling your parents to do something good, or your husband, you can't command them. You can't use the same words as you do when you speak to your kids. So in some cases, amr just means to request. And at other times, we can just enjoin good by doing good ourselves. We can't even say something to people at times. But the only thing we can do is to do it ourselves, to show them through our manners and our character that we just have to do ourselves whatever it is, to kind of encourage others to do the same. Do something good. For example, you stand up to pray when it's time for prayer, when you can't tell others to do it. So you're basically calling them to prayer when you're praying in front of them, because you don't have the authority to tell them to do it straight out, to get up and pray. So you are basically showing them and reminding them. So calling people to good is amr too. Alhamdulillah, now that we're familiar with amr, we have to understand what ma'ruf is, because we have to order, we have to enjoin the ma'ruf. The ma'ruf is the recognized right way. Some examples of that are utmost kindness to parents. Okay, the best level of ihsan when dealing with parents, speaking the truth, being honest, being good to relatives and the orphans, helping the needy, the widows, and then the greatest goodness of all, which is calling people to only worship Allah. Now, there are many people out there who do so much good for humanity. They do so much work. And it's all a part of righteousness. But the best thing is to call people to worship Allah alone. And that is something only Muslims do. And that is something that won't just benefit people temporarily here in this life. It will actually lead to success in the hereafter as well, in people's eternal lives. So if you can guide somebody to save themselves from the hellfire, that is the best thing you can do for them, because their eternal lives depend on that. And the next part, وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and you forbid the evil. This is the opposite of amr. Amr means to command, right? But naha means to stop, to forbid. So when you tanhauna, when you forbid people, it depends. The way you do it depends on who you are dealing with, okay? It's similar to the way we do ta'muruna bil ma'ruf, the way we do amr, to enjoin good. It's done in different ways depending on the situation and who you are dealing with and how much authority you have over them. At times, we forbid evil by telling someone nicely. and other times we may need to scold someone. It all depends. And at times we just have to say something that makes the other person understand. That is all tanhauna, forbidding, okay, in different ways. And what do we have to forbid? The munkar. The munkar is something that is evil, something that is recognized as evil. Now, everyone knows it's bad. And the greatest munkar of all is shirk, because we all know deep inside that there is only one Allah. And then all the other evils are munkar too. Everything that we clearly know is bad, and we learn from Islam too that it's bad. All the sins, the indecencies, dishonesty, lying, dealing with interest or usury, zina, and all other bad things that may be of the greater sins, or the ones people commit more often and take lightly. They are all munkar. Even when we see someone disposing of garbage when they're not supposed to, where they're not supposed to throw those things, it's munkar. Anything that is wrong is munkar. And we can easily do our part by just telling others not to do those things. There are different stages, different degrees or ways of forbidding evil, just as there are for enjoining good. When Muslims tell others to stop sinning, they are basically helping them succeed in the hereafter, so that those people don't end up in the hellfire, because they care, they want the best for them. And that is the best thing someone can do for another, to help save them from Jahannam. And this is the responsibility of the Muslim Ummah, the whole Ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned them this task. Okay, so we have to call people to good and forbid evil. So we all have to fulfill this responsibility by doing whatever we can. And one thing we have to remember is that we have to hate sins, dislike sins. Okay, hate sins, because it's not enough to just avoid sins ourselves. We can't say that it's okay if others are committing sins as long as we aren't doing those things. We must learn what the munkarat are, meaning all the wrong or evil things, all the evil ways, and then disapprove of them. This ayah makes it so clear that the Muslim ummah cannot be selfish. We cannot think that we are doing enough by trying to be good ourselves. We have to think about others too. When Umar radiallahu anhu said, after reciting this ayah, guides us to enjoin good and forbid evil, because that's the only way we can be a part of the best ummah, by doing those two things. An easy way to call people to good is to call them to learn the Quran, to understand it. Because the word of Allah can make it really easy for people to change their ways for the better. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Whoever among you sees evil, let him change it with his hand. If he cannot do so, then with his tongue. If he cannot do so, then with his heart, which is the weakest of faith." That means we have to do at least that. Think that it's bad, feel bad about it. And according to another hadith, if someone doesn't even think that it's wrong, that person has no iman at all. Because when people really love Allah and they believe in Him, they cannot tolerate it when others disobey Him. They don't have to be told and reminded that they have to forbid evil. This is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go and sit in cave Hira before Islam, because he used to be so upset when he saw people doing such bad things. He couldn't do anything about it, but it was so painful for him to see them doing those things. Nowadays, the Muslims are easily able to tolerate people around them disobeying Allah openly, disobeying Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. as if they don't love Allah or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enough. It may be because people are okay with Muslims calling them to good, but they don't like it at all when they forbid evil, when they tell them not to do anything wrong. And that is why many Muslims avoid telling others not to sin. And that happens when they forbid evil, when speaking to Muslims too. Okay, not just non-Muslims. Because it's harder to tell someone to stop when they are doing something wrong, because they don't want to be told. According to Hadith, we are supposed to say what is right because it will not bring about our death before the time that has already been appointed for us, and neither will it deprive us of risk, the sustenance that has been destined for us. So we must remember that we should encourage people when they do good and when they're obeying Allah. Say good things to them, okay, to let them know that you appreciate what they're doing. Encourage them, because that is ta'muruna bil ma'roof. And we're not supposed to say good things about someone who is sinning. Even if everyone else thinks it's nice, whether it's the way somebody is dressed or what somebody is doing or saying, even if society thinks it's good, if Allah says it's wrong and the Prophet told us it's wrong, it is sinful and we cannot say it's good. And if we do, we are basically doing the exact opposite of tanhauna anil munkar. Instead of forbidding the evil, we are approving it. We are saying that it's good, keep doing it. And then, you know, the other person wants to do it even more. So we should be careful when we speak, because people say things sometimes to promote sins. And this happens very often. And we don't want to be responsible for anyone doing anything wrong. So many times people post things on social media, right? And you know that it's not right, the way somebody is dressed or whatever somebody's doing. But just because you are their friend, you feel that you have to approve of them. And then you compromise with your beliefs when you do that. It's not right. We are promoting evil when we do that. So we can't say that something is ma'ruf just because people think it's good, and that something else is munkar because they think it's bad. We have to learn what ma'ruf is according to Allah and what munkar is according to His rules, and follow those guidelines. And that's how we can carry out our responsibility of enjoining good and forbidding evil. We have to know the difference. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "By Him in whose hand is my life, if you stop enjoining good and forbidding evil, very soon Allah will send a punishment upon you. You will make dua to Him, but it will not be accepted." It's sad to think that many Muslims have actually started to do the exact opposite of what they were meant to do. They enjoin evil and they forbid good. Astaghfirullah. It's heartbreaking to see the condition of the Muslim Ummah right now. And we have to understand that we have to do what Allah instructed us to do if we want the protection and the help of Allah. And the whole ummah has to do this. And we can't guide others if we're not on the right path ourselves. We have to do this work within the Muslim ummah, okay, and non-Muslims. We have to guide the Muslim ummah as well. Whatever little bit we know, we have to convey to others. As students of the Quran, we must enjoin good and forbid evil. We have to. First and foremost, with ourselves. Okay, we have to implement these rules ourselves, and then within our homes, our families, our friends, and other people around us that we're close to, and then others. And speak out against any injustice going on anywhere in the world, according to your capacity. Do whatever you can. We all have to do these things. keep in mind that it's harder to forbid evil than it is to enjoin good. But it's very important to do it anyway. That is the only way we can reform ourselves. A few things that we must remember when enjoining good and forbidding evil. The first is to avoid being arrogant. Because when we try to stop others from wrongdoing, over time, we start to think that we are better somehow. And speak to the person who is doing something wrong when you notice something to try to help them so they can stop, instead of telling others what that person is doing. People start talking about it with everyone else besides that person. But that is not the right way. Shaitan tries to make us feel like we are so pious. So we have to avoid that trap. Do not be arrogant when trying to enjoin good and forbid evil. Secondly, we're not supposed to get angry when people don't listen. Don't do it in such a way that they're put off and turned away from Islam. Do it out of care for people. To let them know that you care about them and to basically save them from the destruction that they're headed towards without even realizing it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not get angry and start yelling at people. He continued his work calmly because he was so concerned about them. So we cannot be harsh when they don't listen because we are doing it because we care for them. So just try your best. Don't get angry. The third thing, don't forget that we have to focus on ourselves. Okay? Don't forget to focus on yourself. We have to work on ourselves first instead of trying to find faults with other people all the time. But that does not mean that we shouldn't tell others to stop when we see them doing something wrong. Just because we are sinful ourselves. Many times we hesitate, right? And we think, well, I'm not perfect, so who am I to tell somebody else to stop? But one of our predecessors explained this in a great way. He said, if you wait till you become perfect to be able to advise others, that can never happen. And in that case, nobody after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been able to enjoin good and forbid evil because nobody was perfect after him. So we should advise others in a wise way. But keep in mind that we have to work on ourselves the most. It's a must to try and avoid sins as much as we can. Otherwise, we become used to those things and then we start accepting those sins. And if we don't stop people when they sin, it becomes common in society and gets even worse over time. It's acceptable. Shaitan leads people to even bigger sins once they start committing the minor ones. That is what has happened over time with the Muslim Ummah. And that's why so many sins are very common now among Muslims. And Abu Dawood in Ibn Majah hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when someone lives among a group of people and sins, and those people are capable of stopping him, but they don't bother to, Allah will punish them all before they die. Another hadith. When you see people in my ummah who avoid admitting that the wrongdoers or the unjust are wrong, separate yourselves from them. Another hadith tells us, whoever does not have mercy on our children and respect our elders and doesn't enjoin good and forbid evil is not from us. Do we need to hear more after that to understand the reason for the downfall of Muslims today? We have to be the khayra ummatin by doing the work we had to do, the work we were assigned to do. We learn clearly from what Umar radiallahu anhu said, that the khayra ummatin are those who enjoin good and forbid evil. They're not people like us who just sit here waiting for others to do that work. So we have to try to carry out that mission that Allah entrusted us with. And in order to do that, we have to return to the straight path in our thought and conduct, and advise others as well. Do whatever you can. وَلَوْ آمَنَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. And if the people of the book, meaning the Jews and the Christians, had believed, it would have been better for them. If they had done those things, if they believed, enjoined the good and forbade evil, it would have been good for them. Because then, in that case, they would have belonged to the best ummah if they accepted Islam. They would have believed and been a part of this ummah. مِنْهُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَأَكْثَرُهُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Among them, some are believers, but most of them are transgressors. So we're talking about the people of the book, the Ahli Kitab, the Jews and Christians. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, some are believers among them and others are transgressors, the kind that cross all limits when it comes to disobedience. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu was one of those who became a true believer. He became a mu'min when he accepted Islam. Even though he had been a great scholar of theirs, he didn't think that he's going to lose that powerful position once he accepts Islam. He accepted Islam after asking Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam a few questions, because he was then sure that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was truthful. He accepted Islam right away. Also, Salibah bin Sa'id, Usaid bin Sa'id, Asad bin Ubaid, Ka'b Ahbar, all these people were great scholars of the Ahli Kitab, the people of the book, but they accepted Islam right away. But most of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَكْثَرُهُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Most of them cross limits. Okay, they cross all limits when it comes to sins. They don't even obey their own religion. They don't, the rules of their own religion, they don't even follow their religion. So forget accepting Islam. They do not even follow the rules that were given to them. Even though they've been changed over time, they are still not willing to stick to the basics that are still there. Zina and interest, or being involved in usury, are haram, according to the Bible. Okay? So they have been forbidden to do those things. But most of them disobey when it comes to that. Knowingly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand these ayat, and may He allow us to do what we have been sent to do as the Muslim Ummah, to carry on that task of conveying the message to mankind. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته